Hello and welcome to the New Chewing Breaks, a podcast for our website. In this edition, we're going to speak to members of our live band because we're out on tour at the moment, which is why it's very noisy in here. As you can see, we're on a bus travelling around the country. So just sit back and listen to the band. See you later.
Our wonderful bass player, Eddie Meyer. We're about to hear some words from Ed, bass player, Eddie Meyer. But he's not just a bass player. He's many.
Not even a bass player.
He's only barely a bass player. But he's he does all sorts of other things with his
Eddie Meyer.
Life
hello.
That he's been given.
Eddie.
Now we're going to go over to Ed. Gail's going to ask him something really searching.
What's his name? What's his name?
Eddie.
What's your name?
Eddie Meyer. Hello. Hello, Pod. Hello, Pods everywhere. I was going to do the first time I've met you.
Okay.
First time I met Ollie and Gail, I met them in the form of their disembodied voices off a CD which was being played for me in a recording studio in Nottingham by a man called Ali Statton, who was producing a recording for another man, and he said, "Listen to this. This is great. I'd really like to work with these guys." And so he played it, and I can't remember what my initial reaction was, but I'm sure it was very positive, because they're sitting here in front of me now. And I can still remember, it was Mind Over Money, actually, and it was unmixed. And then the second time I met them was actually their actual physical corporeal bodies in Meat Space. And it was in a very small pub called The Free Butt in Brighton, and they were trying to do a gig for the first time ever, I believe.
Trying.
And, that's all I can remember from that.
Molan.
Umberto. His name is Rob Allen.
Also known as Turanga Tang.
Only one face.
Apparently.
He's a man of many names, but only one face.
Yeah, I may be peeling nuts.
No, I think what happened was we, Charlie Francis, a very nice gentleman, very large gentleman.
Very good engineer.
Very good engineer, very large gentleman also, introduced us at a rehearsal rooms, and we decided to play The Door, I think it was. And very weirdly, Ollie and Gail, who are sitting in front of me now, sat in their sat in these big,
big
red or green chairs. I can't remember if they were red or green, but they were like thrones. But weirdly, rather than sitting up and looking at each other like you do in a rehearsal and like playing together, they sat their chairs up like completely with their backs to me, with these high backs facing a wall. So what in God's name was going on there? I still have no idea. I thought it was some kind of test, you know, or they were really shy. I'm considering they're probably very shy and a bit dumb, but, you know, it was actually a very good rehearsal, and as soon as I hit the first beats, I thought, this sounds effing excellent, and it just felt great, just there and then. Obviously, it all went downhill from then, but it was, you know, it was wonderful. It was lovely. Googleable. If you Google me up, you often get some oil paintings of me come up, which is kind of the weirdest thing. I'm no oil painting. I'm no oil painting. I'm no oil painting. You know that Mona Lisa?
Sorry?
She was no oil
painting. She was no oil painting.
Oh, no, she Charlie Frost knew from the High Llamas, which is a crazy old band that I've been involved with since the very end of the 80s. And the beginning of the 90s, and with Sean O'Hagan, ex of Micro Disney, and there's four of us that are still High Llama-ing with a couple of buddies along with us, and we've made so many records and somehow just about managing to cling on still. It would be great if anyone wants to have a listen to us and or come and see us live.
Why don't we play a High Llama song? Put that in.
Let's play a High Llama song. What do you want? Something accessible? Something bonkers?
Let's try and get friends for the High Llamas, so accessible.
Checking in, checking out.
Yeah.
It's your hit.
That was a radio hit.
I remember hearing Checking In and Checking Out on my way to school when I was about 15 or something like that. And it was a hit. It was a hit on, and it was being played on Capital or Radio 1 or something like that. And then when I realised that that was the same track that Rob and his friends had done, I was amazed. And I still listen to that track at home. It comes up on my iTunes. And I get very nostalgic. And then I smile because I think, well, that drummer's plays for us. Isn't that funny and sweet?
Talking of sweet, tell us a bit about LN2X. Because when we started out, you were toing and froing between us and LN2X.
LN2X was an amazing experience. A band full of crazy artists and slightly on the edge psychological profiles. They were nuts. It was a lot of fun. Electronic rock, avant-garde, as it was known as.
Wouldn't you say it's quite a big influence on a lot of the stuff going on?
Well, it is now. I mean, at the time, it was just kind of people were just wondering what the hell was going on, sort of shaking their heads. A few people got it, and then obviously now, I think the band got bigger after we
broke up, especially
in the States. But weirdly, but I suppose it does make sense. It's a shame we couldn't carry on, but the band was just too nuts. I mean, they won't mind me saying so. Everyone was bonkers, and we all went mad on a regular basis. You know, if you sort of spend 2 months touring Europe, you know, on a bus with two full bands, two crews, every bunk, you know, sort of in use, you hardly ever get a hotel on a night off. I mean, people just go mad, and roadies get tied up.
Wasn't there an episode with the chocolate biscuit?
Roadies get tied up, biscuits get inserted.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. It's regrettable, and I'm sorry about that. Good track. Metal Fingers In My Body.
That's quite late, isn't it?
That was a single.
It was a very good video with porn.
I was very pleased with that one because we got that on a Sky TV advert. So not only was I actually pleased that it was one of mine, it also helped me to still remain a drummer.
what's the name of our keyboard player?
He's a Mr. Phil Martin.
Mr. Phil Martin.
Real name is him. It's Mr. Philip.
Mr. Phil Martin.
Little Phil Martin. Little Phil Martin.
Phil Martin.
I helped out because I had nothing better to do.
And that carried on until...
I liked you guys. I felt sorry for you guys, you know? And then someone thought it was a good idea to get a keyboard player who couldn't actually play keyboards.
Phil Martin.
The utility man. But I could play, you could just about play a couple of chords. Tell me how good I am.
Now you've got a massive stack of synths and samplers and keyboards, so you can actually play keyboards now.
I can actually play, yeah.
And it's taken 10 years.
True. What's that look for, Dino?
Yeah, very good.
And in a way, you kind of came up with the name, didn't you, really?
Did, yeah. I was part of that process.
Maybe just tell everyone.
It happened kind of over a long period of time. Went through several different names, and a few of us, and for some reason those two words stuck out, Turin and Breaks, as having some sort of ethereal relevance to the music. And so, yeah, just stuck them together and... there it was. Beautiful Thing was born.
History, that is.
History.
Maybe we can play the... we can drop a Seer track into it.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
So you do songwriting with Eddie
bits
and...
bits of songwriting, various... bits of other, you know, writing around the music. Yeah. See if there's something else exciting I can tell you about Turin Breaks.
What was the Seer track?
The Girl You Lost to Cocaine.
I've stuck around through thick and through thin. You cannot deny I've always been in. But I've watched you stand still as a snowman.
Actually appeared alongside Hawkwind because many years ago in the prehistoric era I played in a band called Osric Tentacles and we played at the Stonehenge Festival And yeah, it was. I have many memories of that, some of which probably happened and some of which probably didn't. Or anyway, not in real three-dimensional space.
Did the girls' utensils go, okay, we're going to play, like, let's play that song, let's play Jizz Bucket, whatever, 1, 2, 3, 4? Or did they just make everything up?
Sometimes we play Jizz Bucket 1, 2, 3, 4, and sometimes we literally just make stuff up on the spot. In fact, a lot of the time that was part of the fun of it. You never really know what was going to happen. It was a fascinating experience.
And was there sort of a ringleader, like, you know, like in the samba band?
Yeah, there's definitely,
someone that you knew how to stop playing?
Yeah, I never really figured out quite how that worked. I was very young at the time. But, yeah, kind of thing. There was it was the guitarist, Ed. It was his band, really, ultimately, who I think he's the only remaining tentacle still tentacling. They're still going all these years later. And yeah,
I heard they've sold over 1 million albums.
They really have, yeah. Isn't that extraordinary?
Me too. Well, just in the amount...
People like me.
Yeah. They've sold over a million copies of albums.
They're a global phenomenon. You'll find everywhere you go in the world, you'll find Osrix fans. Maybe only three of them, but they'll be there. It's that kind of thing.
I must have told you that I nearly joined the Osrix Tentacles myself.
No, I don't think you'd never mentioned that.
From that guy that you mentioned.
Ed?
Yeah.
No way. You never told me that.
If I wanted to meet up and, I don't know, I suppose audition, you know.
No
way. And I kind of bottled it because I thought I wanted to do it, and then I listened to some more of the music and I thought, it could be a bit of a nightmare, you know, sort of in crusty buses kind of.
It'd be fun music to play, yeah. Especially for drummers.
Well, I thought I would enjoy that part of it, but I just was worried about sort of sitting in, you know, sort of like fields, sort of, you know, say,
sitting
like
in
coming
fields.
Down from acid overdose, you know, feeling like death.
You never tried it. You might have liked it.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. And it hasn't done me any harm. So how funny, in another world, somewhere in another parallel universe, Rob, you and I are both there with long dreadlocks playing for the Osrix. And Ollie and Gail are watching us on acid. Think of that.
I'd love to see those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that is true, man. That tiny decision you made.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. If a butterfly hadn't flapped its wings...
If I hadn't lost my nerve, Destiny. I could have been in Curve instead. Amazing band.
Yeah. Destiny would have brought us together just in a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go and find Phil and trouble him. Okay. Why don't we play an Osrix Tentacles song, Ed?
Let's play an Osrix Tentacles song
one that we can find?
We might play Enter the Pong Master, perhaps, or maybe something completely different.
Is it short?
None of their tunes are short. I'm not going to do that.